Grant to us, Lord, the spirit to think and to always do such things as are right, that we who cannot do anything that is good without you may be enabled to, by you, to live according to your good and gracious will. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Catechism, question 18. How does God use the Ten Commandments in our lives, in the lives of others in this world? God uses His commandments, the law, in three ways. We call the three uses of the law. First, for the good of His creation, God uses the law to limit or prevent coarse outbursts of sin, thereby helping to keep order in the world occur. 1 Timothy 1. The law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, the sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. Second, He uses the law to reveal and condemn our sin, a mirror. Romans 3. For by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in His sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. Romans 7. What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin, for I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." 1 John 1. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Third, we use the law to guide and direct our thoughts, words, and deeds as Christians in God-pleasing ways to guide. Psalm 119, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Proverbs 6, For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life. The Old Testament reading for the 8th Sunday after Trinity is written in the 23rd chapter of Jeremiah, beginning with verse 16. Thus says the Lord of hosts, Do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, The Lord has said, You shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, No evil shall come upon you. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord, and has perceived and heard His word? Who has marked His word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, a violent whirlwind. It will fall violently on the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until He has executed and performed the thoughts of His heart. In the latter days, you will understand it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places, so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long will this be in their heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. whom try to make my people forget my name by their dreams, which everyone tells his neighbor, as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Here endeth the Old Testament reading. To continue with the gradual printed in your bulletin. Be a rock of refuge for me.
A strong fortress to save me.
In you, O Lord, do I take refuge.
Let me never be put to shame.
Our second reading is written in Acts, the 20th chapter, beginning with verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch, and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this, that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, for they would see his face no more, and they accompanied him to the ship. Here endeth the second reading. Please rise for the Alleluia verse. Alleluia.
Alleluia. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Alleluia.
Holy Gospel is written in the 7th chapter of St. Matthew, beginning with verse 15. Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits they will know them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Here endeth the Gospel reading. Let us confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God, God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made.
saved by the prophets. And I believe one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn. Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
So is pure doctrine important? Jesus sure thinks it is. He tells you to beware of false prophets. So what is a false prophet? A prophet is someone who speaks for God. A false prophet is someone who claims to speak for God, but instead tells lies. The Lord spoke through the prophet Jeremiah, saying that the prophets have prophesied lies in his name. This is why Jesus says that they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. They come to you with the appearance of someone you can trust, but that is only a disguise. Rather, their intent is to destroy you. They come to you looking like a trusted pastor, calling themselves a Christian and minister. They prophesy in Jesus' name, cast out demons, and do mighty works in Jesus' name. But they do not do the will of God. They are liars, which means they do the will of the devil, who is the father of lies. Dear saints in Christ, the word doctrine means teaching. Pure means unpolluted. So pure water does not have any dirt or harmful chemicals in it. Pure gold does not have any dross. It should be difficult to understand that you should desire to learn pure doctrine and to mark and avoid false doctrine. Pure doctrine comes from Jesus Christ, who is the only way to heaven. False doctrine comes from Satan, who lies to you in order to murder your soul and to send you to hell. Wouldn't you be horrified if a contractor that you paid to build your house laid its foundation and he mixed it with dirt in the concrete to save money? That would weaken the foundation of your house. That would be dangerous. It would be evil to mix sawdust into your child's food. You want the healthy food, stable materials, pure medicine. How much more should you desire the pure word of God? Before the gospel reading begins, Jesus warns you, enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. You see, the way to destruction is wide, because it is the way of the lies of Satan. Satan's lies are more numerous than the sand on the seashore, and you're sure to find one that fits your fancy. But the way to life is narrow, because it is the only way, and that is through Jesus Christ. For he alone is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. So if you want to be certain that you are on the way to eternal life, you should pay careful attention to the pure doctrine. You don't want to mix the lies of Satan into the teaching of Jesus. I mean, if you discovered a cyanide capsule in your bottle of vitamins, you certainly wouldn't take it. How much more should you refuse and remove the false teachings that try to pollute your hearts? Jesus describes the way of false teaching as the way of destruction, that is, the way to hell. He describes false teachers as ravenous wolves dressed like sheep. What do ravenous wolves do when they get into a sheepfold? How do the sheep fare? Are you not sheep? Should you not take notice of this warning from your good shepherd? People get uncomfortable with this lesson from Jesus because he warns you against those within the Christian church, those who teach falsely. He's not warning you here against the militant atheist who will teach your teenager that they evolved from random chance. No, he's warning you here not against the pornographer who seeks to steal the soul of your children or your spouse. He's not warning you against the Muslim cleric or the Buddhist priest. It should be quite obvious to every Christian that you should avoid these influencers at all costs. Now here he's warning you against those who bear the name Christian, who may say things that you like, who make you feel comfortable. Many say, why make such a big deal out of pure doctrine? Isn't all that matters that you are a Christian and believe in Jesus? I mean, won't people in other Christian churches also go to heaven? It is most certainly true that all who believe in Jesus with their hearts and confess Him as Lord with their mouths will be saved. And there are many within the Roman Catholic, the Orthodox, the Reformed, the Baptist, and many other Christian denominations who trust in the Lord Jesus for forgiveness and for salvation. And they truly will be saved just as you will be. But it is possible to believe some false doctrine and still be saved. But it is also possible to live with only one lung or one kidney. It's possible to survive if your legs or your arms or your eyes are amputated. But it certainly isn't desirable. In fact, it could be quite harmful. There are quite a few Christian ministers that say it's okay to believe that the creation account as recorded in Genesis is a myth, and that God didn't really create Adam out of the dust of the ground. But then if you're unwilling to believe that God formed Adam out of the dust of the ground, how can you believe that God will raise your mortal body from the dust of the earth? How can God give new life to all those who have perished and whose bodies have rotted away and turned to dust? How could God have raised Christ? And it is no surprise that those who accept the theory of macroevolution and who claim to dismiss Genesis as a myth soon dismiss all other miracles of the Bible and reject many of the chief articles of the Christian faith. You see, Christians are under increased pressure to accept homosexual and transgender ideologies, so that many Christian ministers are now saying that homosexuality and transgenderism are not sins. Yet acceptance of these ideologies makes it impossible to understand what God intends for men and women and how they should behave in marriage, with children, for chastity, for the relationship between Christ and His church. Indeed, a sociologist spent 1,000 lifetimes observing men, women, and children and the effect marriage has on them, they would still not understand a fraction of what God knew when He created them male and female. And if you cannot fully grasp with your intellect the profound good and the distinction between men and women, and marriage between one man and one woman, you certainly cannot grasp the evil done by destroying these things instituted by God. Many Christians reject baptism. Some Lutherans will dismiss this as just a minor error, but it is very serious. People reject baptism because they think that they must choose God instead of God choosing them, because they refuse to simply take Jesus at His word. They deprive children of the saving washing. Many deny that Jesus can be present bodily in the Lord's Supper, because a man cannot be present in more than one place at one time. But if Christ cannot be present in the Supper, then He cannot be true God and man. And if He were only present here as God, then He would not be with you as the one who was crucified for your sins. That is, as the one who saved you. So you see, all that these false teachings lead is to even worse errors. Pure doctrine is one united body. No amount of false doctrine is safe. It is true that some who believe some false doctrine will nevertheless be saved. Yet there is false doctrine that makes one not a Christian, and therefore outside of salvation. Those who deny that Jesus is God and man cannot be saved. Those who deny that God is the Holy Trinity cannot be saved. Those who deny that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world and rose again from the dead, so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life, cannot be saved. Those who refuse to repent of their sins, but somehow persist in them without repenting, cannot be saved. The most damaging false teaching, which takes many forms, is that you can be saved by your own good works. Well, if you can be saved by your own works, by being good people, then you are not saved by the suffering and death of your Lord Jesus Christ. The teaching that good works save replaces Christ Jesus as your true Savior. This false teaching must be rejected at all costs. It blasphemes Christ by saying that his precious blood is not enough to pay for the sins of the entire world. This is to deny that Jesus is God and Lord. The teaching that good work saves robs you of your salvation and confidence. This must be avoided at all costs. You must avoid all false teaching, because all false teaching comes from Satan. You see, the goal of all false teaching is to rob you of Christ Jesus as your true treasure. Perhaps the most terrifying passage in all of Scripture is where Jesus says that there will be many who claim to prophesy, exorcise demons, and do mighty works in Jesus' name, who will cry out to Jesus, "Lord, Lord," and to whom Jesus will say, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." So will Jesus say that to you? You cry out to Jesus on the last day, only to hear him respond, "I never knew you," before casting you into hell. How can you be certain that Jesus will not say those horrid words, but will instead say, "Enter into the joy of your master"? Only the pure doctrine of Christ can give you that confidence. Jesus ends his sermon on the mount saying, "He who hears his words and does them will be like a man who builds his house upon a rock. That rock will survive rain, it'll survive wind, and it will survive floods." Jesus here is saying the same as St. Paul says in his letter to the Christians in Rome, "For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." You see, pure doctrine gives confidence that you have built your faith on a solid rock, because it teaches that Jesus Christ has fully paid for your sins by his innocent suffering and death. Pure doctrine teaches that Jesus is true man so that he can take your place. Pure doctrine teaches that Jesus is true God, so that his death upon the cross fully pays for the sins of the whole world. Pure doctrine teaches that Jesus is risen from the dead and truly intercedes for you in heaven, even as he showers with you his grace on earth through his holy word and sacraments. Pure doctrine assures you that since Jesus has done everything necessary to save you, that only faith can receive this salvation as a gift. You see, your good works cannot save you, just as your sins cannot damn you. Pure doctrine gives you confidence in your salvation, because pure doctrine comes straight from Jesus. Dear saints in Christ, can you truly know pure doctrine? Indeed, you can. God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. So learn your catechism by heart, because it clearly expresses the teaching of the Bible. Come to church and listen to the sermon, and judge it according to Holy Scripture. Read the Bible. Come to Bible class and ask questions. Read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the Holy Scriptures. Be a student of the Holy Spirit, a disciple of Christ. Lean not on your own understanding, but believe God's word. All of it, even if it seems impossible. This is what it means to have Christ as your true teacher. And if you store up Christ's words in your heart, you will never be put to shame. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts safe in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. O God, you have brought us, your people, into the city and holy mountain of your Church. Rejoicing in your judgments and promises, we come before you boldly with our petitions through the merits and meditations of Christ, our righteousness, who sits at your right hand. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, apart from your Son and without your Spirit, we can do nothing good. Keep us steadfast in your word, that our lives and teaching may please you and bear abundant fruit. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, you have purchased us by your flock by the shedding of Christ's blood. Fill all governing authorities with fear of you, and let their service foster and preserve us. Have mercy on our people and country. Let our youth be brought up in discipline and in right knowledge of you, that they may recognize both your law and the way of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful God, you are a fortress to your people. In your temple, we think on your steadfast love in Christ. Hear us on behalf of all who need healing, strength, and comfort, especially Wally, Roger, Sarah, Helen, Rod, Bev, Carlene, Carol, Karen, Pastor Mo, Dennis, Ruth, Janet, Tammy, Roger, Steve, Rachel, Shirley, Deanna, Robin, Brianna, Chuck, Lizia, Gordon, Deb, Pastor Fish, Mary, Billy, Ted, Tim, Tony, the Langton family, Baby Belinda, and the Leslie family. Defend them from the attacks of the evil one and cause them to join in your praise. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God of hosts, we give thanks that in the waters of holy baptism we receive the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. On this baptismal anniversary, bless Bradley, Clara, and Michelle continually by your word and spirit, that they may faithfully keep the covenant into which they have been called, boldly confess their Savior, and finally share with all the saints the joys of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, direct your Son, our Good Shepherd. You care for your flock in this world. Direct, defend, and bless all pastors as they care for the church, which Christ obtained with his own blood. Strengthen them as faithful shepherds and overseers, especially as they feed your flock the very body and blood of Christ. That there would be no division among your sheep, but all would be united by your truth. Lord, in your mercy. Holy One of Israel, you have called us by the gospel and have remained steadfast to us always. Increase our faith. Bring your elect through the weariness of this world and to the unwearying joy of heaven. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, your word is like fire, and you fill heaven and earth. You are not far off, but you are in our midst, announcing the salvation accomplished by your living Christ, the crucified. Grant your church the spirit to think and to do always such things that are right, that we who cannot do anything that is good without you may be enabled by you to live according to your good will. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen. We continue with hymn 307. You may be seated. The peace so the Lord be with you always.
Christ, you went to death for your sin. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep your baptismal grace. Take, eat, true body of Christ, you went to death for your sin. Take, eat, true body of Christ,
you went to death for your sin.
Take, eat,
true
body of Christ, you went to death for your sin. Take, eat, true body of Christ, you went to death for your sin. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep the baptismal grace. Take, eat, the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. For remission of all your sins.
Father's true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Strengthen us for the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.